Police have made their first arrest under a new national security law, detaining one protester for carrying a flag calling for Hong Kong independence.
A man is intercepted after police had issued warnings to a crowd that they might be in violation of the national security law, which has just taken effect. The law makes what China calls secessionist, subversive, or terrorist activities illegal, as well as foreign intervention in the city's internal affairs. Meanwhile, a senior Chinese official in charge of Hong Kong affairs says the rule is necessary to correct the deviation in the understanding of the one country, two systems in Hong Kong. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
President Trump continues to enjoy strong support from white evangelical Protestants.
A new poll from the nonpartisan Pew Research Center shows that 72% of white evangelicals approve of the president's job performance. That's down 6 points from April, but his approval among white evangelical Christians has remained largely consistent throughout his presidency. Even with strong support, the Trump campaign has stepped up its appeals to conservative religious voters ahead of the November election. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Police in Seattle have torn down demonstrators' tents in the city's so-called Occupy protest zone after the mayor ordered it cleared. Officers used their bicycles Wednesday morning to herd the protesters so the officers could carry out the order imposed following two fatal shootings in less than 2 weeks. Seattle's police chief says at least 13 people were arrested. Television images showed clashes between the police and dozens of protesters at the so-called Capitol Hill Occupy protest zone. A mixed day on Wall Street as the Dow was down by 77 points, but the NASDAQ rose 95, and the S&P 500 advanced by 15 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For a free quote, call 800-523-3771. That's 800-523-3771. 800-523-3771 or go to selectquote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and a previous candidate for governor of Nevada. As the owner of Las Vegas Psychery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. During the COVID-19 business shutdown, the Department of Homeland Security has categorized bicycle shops as essential businesses. We've been servicing a lot of bikes to help people get their two-wheeled transportation up and running. Many people who are losing their jobs are now using their bicycles for transportation. They don't have money for their car or their insurance, so they'll use a bike to get around. Our community is also using them as a way to get outdoors, stay in shape, and enjoy the fresh air. If you need help dusting off the cobwebs and getting on your bike, we're here to service you curbside from 9 to 5 daily. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215, as well as the Bonneville Transit Center downtown Las Vegas. Our phone number is 702-596-2953.
Hi, I'm State Senator Scott Hammond. These are difficult times for all of us, a time set apart. But our Las Vegas community has always come together when we need to. We all have a part to play, and it is heartwarming to know that our community is strong enough to fight this. Many of you also have questions or concerns, which is why I have compiled as much information and resources on my website as possible. Please visit HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. That's HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. Paid for by Friends of Scott Hammond.
It's 3:04. This is a KMZQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. Contact tracing in Nevada has identified more than 1,500 COVID-19 cases which might have gone undetected, and confirms the top risk factors for infection are people visiting indoor venues and not following guidelines on social distancing and face coverings. State health officials also say the COVID-19 infection rates have shifted to younger people, with more than half of all Nevada cases reported in June among people between the ages of 20 and 49. The Silver State will remain in Phase 2 in its roadmap to recovery until the end of July. The latest directive from Governor Sisolak keeps in place for another month. The governor hit the pause button on moving into Phase 3 on June 15th amid increasing coronavirus infection rates. Culinary Local 226 has filed a lawsuit against some major Las Vegas Strip venues, charging the properties are not offering safe working conditions amid the coronavirus pandemic. The lawsuit focuses on the Signature at the MGM, Sidel Cafe at the Bellagio, Guy Fieri's Las Vegas Kitchen and Bar also was named. The lawsuit contends the venues have not protected their workers, and their response of the workers testing positive has been inadequate.
KCQ On-Time Traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Come in right now for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95, along with a free AC inspection.
Overall, big picture, not too bad right now on area freeways. We are getting some heavy volumes through the middle of town there at the Spaghetti Bowl. 515 eastbound at Main, you'll tap the brakes. Also, we're getting some slow flows. 515 westbound, that is at Pecos.
Gather around!
Washington, D.C. It got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. Broadcasting live from the world famous Las Vegas Strip, Kevin Wall with you on AM 670 KMZQ. This hour brought to you by Bye Bye Fungus Antifungal Serum. It is so unique and so effective that a patent's been issued by the U.S. government. Call 800-258-3635. That's 800-258-3635. Say bye-bye fungus and hello sandals. I am so excited because on Wednesdays we get to have Chuck Muth on. He is the president of Citizen Outreach and he joins us. I want to ask you, we're now into week one of the Sisolak mask mandate. First of all, Are you wearing a mask when you leave the house?
No, absolutely not. I wore one today because I had to, and you know, this was I saw a reporter in Reno tweeted a couple of days ago that she went into the heart of conservative land, Douglas County, Nevada, and reported that she saw 90% of the people, you know, in this conservative Walmart were wearing masks. And my response was very simple. People will do a lot of things that they wouldn't otherwise do when you've got a gun to their head. So, you know, people are doing it because they don't have any choice. The governor has threatened and is continuing to threaten businesses. If they don't enforce his order, they'll lose their business license. So they really don't have any choice. And as customers, we don't really have a choice because it's not the business's fault. This is the governor's fault.
Now, let me ask you, the governor cites science and data and different things like that. Is he right on this? I mean, you listen to Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx, and they all say, oh, you got to wear a mask, you got to wear a mask. Do you buy into the science?
There's disputed science, and that's the problem. It's the same thing as that we've been fighting for years now about global warming. Some scientists say one thing, others say another thing. But what gets me, Kevin, what just is absolutely amazing to me is that because the governor has issued this order, ordering everybody to wear masks when what really, really protects you is social distancing. Just stay the heck away from people. Stay at least, you know, 6 to 10 feet away from people. Yet I drive around town and I'm seeing people alone in their car with the windows up and the air conditioning on wearing a face mask. I see people walking around on the streets all by themselves, nobody anywhere near them wearing a face mask. It defies common sense, and it just shows to me that there may be too many people out there who are allowed to vote that shouldn't be allowed to vote.
Well, and it's the part of the mandate, the Sisolak mask mandate, that people seem to forget, and it's where you can't do social distancing. So, for instance, if you're going to a park, if you're going to Sunset Park and you're going to hang out on a park bench and eat a cheeseburger, you probably don't have to wear a mask because you can do the social distancing. But if you can't do the social distancing, then you got to wear the mask. Am I right?
Yes, and there's something else that people need to keep in mind, because I see on social media, I see these comments all the time from people who, you know, wear a mask, you must hate people, you want people to die. Look, if you are that afraid of going out in public, then don't go out in public. You can stay home, self-quarantine. But, you know, a lot of us out here don't believe that the risk is as dire as the governor would like us to believe it is. And if the governor thought that it was as dire as he thought it was, he wouldn't be making all of these exceptions to the rule. If masks were the magic bullet that was going to slay the COVID-19 monster, then why didn't he do this back in April, mid-April, and allow businesses to start reopening back in April if just wearing a mask was going to be what was going to fix the situation? The man has lost all moral authority to talk about this issue because he's been so inconsistent and so contradictory in every order that he's had. He's told businesses that they have to close because, if I think I got the quote exact, Kevin, every social contact is a risk, but not if you're building the stadium, you know, the Raiders stadium. How does any of this make sense? How is it that you walk into a restaurant, you have to wear your mask when you walk in the front door, but you take one step beyond the hostess stand, and then suddenly you don't have to wear a mask and everything's safe? Apparently, the COVID-19 virus can't attack you as long as you're chewing or drinking something. Again, it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever, and that's why you have so many people who are objecting to this and defying him.
Chuck, why is he doing it? I mean, I've tried to look at the motives to hurt Trump. I don't think so. I can't buy into that. Do you have a feel for why the governor is doing this?
Well, I think there's a couple of things at play here. The two biggies. One, this man has never been in a position of executive authority. He's not had to make executive decisions on his own before. He doesn't have the experience. And he's just got bad judgment. He was on the University Board of Regents for many years before he was on the Clark County Commission for a number of years. And that's where you've got a whole bunch of other people making a decision, and then there's a vote, and the majority carries the day. So he's never really been in an executive position the way President Trump has in running all of his businesses. The other thing, which is very unfortunate, but this is what happens, elections have consequences, he has surrounded himself with incompetent people. People who also don't have any kind of business experience or executive experience, many of whom obviously also have very left-wing policy proposals, and they like the idea of the government being in charge and issuing orders to us peasants out here in the heartland. And so I think a combination of not having executive experience and surrounding himself with incompetent people is what has caused so many of these problems that we've seen, you know, now 3.5 months in, and heading into 4.5 months, it's just a shame. We don't have to be in the position that we're in now. It's because of who we elected.
Are we seeing any progress on the Dieter front? We're now into what, our third or fourth executive director of Dieter, and yet there are still people that are marching, that are protesting, that are absolutely beside themselves. Are we seeing any progress?
Very little. I mean, if you have been unemployed since St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, when the governor issued his first shutdown or semi-shutdown, and you still haven't gotten your unemployment, you're probably no closer today than you were back on March the 17th. And this, again, this is the governor's fault because he is the person who appoints the person who runs the Department of Unemployment. And he has done a lousy job at appointing competent people in these top positions. And so I don't think the problem is going to get any better. Marginally, only because if they handle five or six people a day and get them satisfactorily taken care of, okay, you don't have to worry about those five or six. But in the meantime, there are tens of thousands out there who still haven't gotten their unemployment benefits.
Well, and if these people, is there any remedy, and I'm thinking the courts, any legal remedy to get these people their money? I mean, somebody could sit down with an open checkbook and start writing, you know, checks out of the state treasury. Is there anything these people can do, any redress they have?
I mean, they can go to court. We can see what happens. But even if the court orders Dieter to handle it, they apparently aren't in any position to handle it, even if ordered. I don't think they're not handling it because they don't want to. I think they either don't know how or they are overwhelmed, which brings us to another question. I saw today that I guess the governor is hiring, or UNLV is hiring some people to do contact tracing and everything. Look, since March the 17th, we have had government employees sent home who are doing nothing and getting paid for that. Why, instead of hiring new people, aren't these government employees who are already being paid by you and me and your listeners, why aren't they being redirected to deal with this situation at Dieter? Put it around the clock. We, especially here in Las Vegas, we know what it's like to work 24/7 around the clock. Our casino industry has been doing it for decades. Why in the heck aren't we doing the same thing to address this problem? Again, it's a self-inflicted wound. The governor decided that this is what he was going to do, and he's responsible for making it work, and he just hasn't gotten the job done.
And while a lot of people believe that it is the governor that should be recalled, there's been a movement out there to remove not the governor, but the mayor of Las Vegas. How is that effort going? We'll talk about that and more coming up. Chuck Muth joining us, the president of Citizen Outreach, and he has written extensively on both Carolyn Goodman and the governor himself. We'll have more with Chuck Muth coming up in a minute on AM 670 KMZQ.
Headlines that affect you.
But as we address the how, we also have to know that we're addressing the why, and I think that's going to be critical in order for us to turn the page.
AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
B&D has loved Las Vegas for over 30 years, and we're here for you if you need us. Construction hasn't shut down, and while you're safe at home, we can take care of those needed repairs. We can meet in your home and still keep a safe social distance. B&D Plastering, here for you, 702-644-8980.
Are you hot in your bedroom? Don't lose your cool. Call Active Air Conditioning at 702-438-3357. You've heard it all before. We're the best. We're the cheapest. We'll save you 50%. Yeah, right. 50% off what? Blah, blah, blah. At Active Air Conditioning, we don't come out to pick your pocket. We come out to service your needs. If you want a healthy, professional AC technician, call Active Air Conditioning at 702-438-3357. So remember, if it's hot in your bedroom, call Active Air Conditioning at 702-438-3357.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. Are you in need of a healthcare program? Well, you're in luck. As a member of Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community that comes together to share their medical expenses. You can sign up throughout the year with memberships starting as early as the following month. And there are no contracts or commitments. Programs start as low as $199 per month, and there's no network. So you can choose your own doctors and hospitals. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit ministry, not insurance. So your money goes towards helping other members with their eligible medical expenses. And in your time of need, other members are there for you. You can feel good knowing that you're part of a community of like-minded individuals who understand the importance of people coming together to bear one another's burdens. To find out more, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or go to libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. That's libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall.
A&D has loved Las Vegas for over 30 years, and we're here for you if you need us. Construction hasn't shut down, and while you're safe at home, we can take care of those needed repairs. We can meet in your home and still keep a safe social distance. B&D Plastering, here for you, 702-644-8980.
Big name guests, the news of the day, mixed in with a diversity of opinions. Live and local with Kevin Wall, weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
You just got to love it. This is what is so amazing, that while there are tons of people across the state of Nevada who would love to see Steve Sisolak, he of the Sisolak shutdown, the Sisolak mask mandate, see them step down, see them step aside, they're not doing it, and they're not being successful. Now we have a recall effort of no less than Carolyn Goodman, the mayor of Las Vegas. She has nothing to do with any of this stuff. But yet there's a movement afoot to remove her. You wrote about this over the weekend. I guess it's not going. The move to recall Carolyn Goodman, not going all that well, is it?
No. Just a couple of days ago, it was announced that midway through the 90-day period in which they have they have to get the number of signatures in order to recall someone. Midway through, they had collected all of, see if I get the number right, Kevin. Oh, zero. That's right. Zero signatures.
They only need 5,000 or 6,000, don't they?
It's something like that. I mean, it's a small number, but it's a small number, in general, but it comes from a small universe that they have to get those signatures from. Those are people who had to have voted in the last municipal election. So it's a real small universe that they have to pull from. And right before we came off the break, I just saw a tweet from our friend Steve Sebelius at the Las Vegas Review-Journal that the recall committee has now announced to their supporters that they have suspended their recall efforts. Basically, they've canceled it. It was an utter failure, and not really a surprise when you consider who it was behind it.
Well, and they had till August 4th to do it. We're only midway through.
Midway through, and again, midway through, and they didn't get a single signature. Not even, well, the two people behind the recall, I remember this was a poker player. I forget what
Doug
his name
Polk,
is.
Doug Polk.
Yeah, okay, Doug Polk and Steve Klubach, who's a major donor to the Democrat Party and the Democrat machine in Nevada. Those are the two people behind it, the money people and the brains, neither of whom live in Las Vegas. So they couldn't even sign their own petition.
Oh, God. So I'm assuming it's dead. Do we know why? I mean, what was it she did? Was it the stupid CNN interview? Is that what drug her down?
That was what they used as a catalyst to say, okay, this is why she needs to be recalled. But the fact of the matter is, the reason they wanted her recalled was because she was the only elected official in Nevada, senior elected official, who was challenging Governor Sisolak on all of the shutdown stuff. It was back in the middle of April, right around Easter Sunday, that she called the Sisolak shutdown, the way he was implementing it, total insanity, which it was. If we had started the process of reopening Las Vegas and Nevada back in the middle of April, if whatever these spikes are and everything else that we have right now, these embers or hot spots, we would have already been through that. We would have figured out how to address it, and we would be well on our way to a complete and total reopening of the state.
And now, of course, we've got the mask mandate. And the fact that that we've got, for better or for worse, we've had a spike. What do you make of the medical part of this thing? Going to the mask and all that. What happens if we find out in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, that we still have a spike?
Yeah, bingo. There you go. The governor has no idea whether this mask thing works or doesn't work. There is disputes. in the medical community whether or not a mask really does protect you or others. And so, what if we do have mandatory masks? And what if we do have 90% compliance? And what if the virus continues to grow? Then what do you do? The governor has been flying by the seat of his pants. He's been making up a lot of this as he goes along because he really doesn't know what to do, and he's adverse to making tough decisions. He keeps trying to have it both ways. And I tell you, Kevin, the thing that really, really frustrates me is with the order yesterday extending this through the end of July, this one man will have exercised authoritarian, single-handed control over our entire state for 4.5 months without the legislature having a say in it. That is dead wrong. No governor should be given unlimited, unfettered power to do what this man has been doing to our state without the legislature weighing in on it.
That brings us to July 8th. We always talk about how, you know, July 4th is kind of the midpoint of the summer. Schools get, you know, come back maybe in August. But now we're going to have a special session of the Nevada legislature. And the big question is, what are they going to do? July 8th, I guess, is the date, the working date now from the governor just today. And I guess my question is, what are they going to talk about? Is it going to be a single subject? Will there be multiples? What are you hearing?
Well, from what I've heard so far, first of all, the July 8th date, as is typical of anything coming from Governor Sisolak, is pretty much etched in pencil. You know, he said he's going to target July the 8th, but, you know, circumstances may change and that may change and maybe it won't be on July the 8th. So people still don't know whether for sure July 8th is the date that the special session is going to start. But the agenda, from what I understand, from what I've read so far, is that they're going to have to discuss the budget. We were looking at a $1.3 billion hole in our budget because the governor refused to take steps to mitigate the damage back in March when he knew this was going to happen. He just let it go. So we got to deal with the budget hole. Then I saw that we have to talk about criminal and social justice reform, as if that's the major problem facing Nevadans right now. And someone also, I think, wrote that maybe there will be some election reform included on the agenda, and that is extremely scary because what that tells me is that the Democrats who control the governor's office, the state senate, and the state assembly are going to try to force another mail-in, all-mail election on the state of Nevada in November.
Can they do it? I mean, can they do it by statute? Can they do it by statute?
Absolutely they can. The legislature has the power to establish election laws, and unless there is some type of a tax or revenue increase in the bill to do that, then the Republicans are powerless to stop it. The only way you would be able to stop it is if the bill required a two-thirds supermajority vote, and then you'd have to hope that none of the Republicans swing over and vote with the Democrats in the state Senate, which is another scary prospect altogether.
Well, let's go there. The governor has said, and other Democrats have said, that they need new streams of revenue, that the idea of cutting 50 jobs is not going to be enough to save them the $1.2 or $3 billion that they're going to need to close the gap. My question to you is that what they're gunning for? Are they gunning for a tax increase?
There is none of the Democrats who are on the ballot in November that I know of have yet to come out publicly and say we need to raise taxes. But those who are not on the ballot on the left have already come out and are already calling for the special session to be used. I know Hugh Jackson from the Nevada Current had a column this weekend where he wants the special session to include three constitutional amendments, one which would get rid of the two-thirds supermajority requirement for tax increases in the legislature, one to remove the caps on taxing mining, and another to remove the prohibition on a personal income tax. There are also others on the left who are calling for an elimination on the cap on the property tax that you and I pay on our homes and on our businesses. So there are people pushing for these tax increases. I believe that most, if not all, of the Democrats would support it if they could, but because they're on the ballot, they're not willing to come out and actually say so at this point in time.
It just may not be a safe point. We've got a lot more to talk about, including when schools are going to reopen. Chuck Muth joining us, the president of Citizen Outreach. More with him coming up. We're also going to talk about this idea of a tax increase and whether Republicans are going to be standing together in order to stand in the way of...